Welcome to In the Studio with a 21st century perspective on history's greatest rock albums.
Guitar up.
One, two, three.
I'm Red Beard, and today in the studio, the English band Supertramp served up 18 million orders of breakfast, American style.
I sensed that Breakfast in America was going to be a huge album, actually, even while we were making it. I think everyone was pretty sure that Logical Song was going to be a big song. It was a double-edged sword. I could sense the album was going to be huge, but I could also sense the band was splitting up, was kind of falling apart. I knew the beginning of the end was being sown. I could feel it. I'm Roger Hodgson, in the studio serving Breakfast in America.
Only moderately successful in the U.S., after 10 years and 5 albums, the English progressive rock quintet Supertramp released their 6th album, Breakfast in America, in March 1979. It shot up to the number one selling album in America by May, stayed there for a total of 6 weeks, producing 3 top 20 hit songs, and eventually earning 2 Grammy Awards. This, mind you, from a band that had one hit in an entire 10-year career up till then. But the U.S. is only part of the Breakfast in America banquet. Canada, Europe, Australia all ended up ordering breakfast as well, to the tune of 18 million coffees sold. Amazing. As the Talking Heads would sing, well, how did I get here? Let's find out from Supertramp guitarist Roger Hodgson, who along with keyboard player Rick Davis were the 2 main songwriters and singers for the band. Roger Hodgson says that Supertramp's 1974 small hall headline concerts in America on the Crime of the Century tour made quite a favorable impression on the British band.
We all decided that, hey, this place feels quite nice. Let's stay here a bit, especially in California. We actually, after 25 years in England and English weather and English food, we felt a break was very welcome. And so we decided to do Crisis What Crisis in California, in Los Angeles. And maybe that's one of the reasons why the album is called Crisis What Crisis. It definitely didn't flow, certainly as well as Crime of the Century was, for many reasons. We didn't have the preparation time that we had for Crime. We were feeling all the pressures of the normal pressures you have to get an album out. But you live and learn. Also, I think America was having an effect on us a little bit in terms of maybe who we were individually and collectively. We were living now in another culture, so we were trying to redefine who we were in America, in a brand new environment. Right. Ooh, yeah. All right. Ooh, here we go again. I love to hear.
Supertramp's sole U.S. hit in 10 years and 5 albums prior to Breakfast in America was Roger Hodgson's toe-tapper, Give a Little Bit, originally on Supertramp's 1977 album, Even in the Quietest Moments. Hodgson described the duality that he and the other members of the band experienced as expats in L.A.
I think we absorbed everything that was going on around us, but Supertramp always remained a little bubble in Los Angeles. We really didn't make too many friendships outside of the Supertramp bubble. There were about 25 of us, counting the road crew and management. And it was almost like an English, little mini English culture within Los Angeles. So although we watched what was going on, I don't think we'd absorbed America as our home. Certainly I hadn't at that time, like I have now. I mean, I really feel like I'm probably more American than English. I keep on saying I'm mid-Atlantic. That keeps me that keeps me out of trouble. But I don't think at that time, I think we were still hanging on to our English roots more with each other. I think also the two writers, I think Rick probably maybe looked more. He was living in Encino in Los Angeles, and he probably tuned into it more than I did. I was definitely on a spiritual quest around that time. I was off in the mountains doing yoga and meditating and trying to find myself. So we were both definitely charting different courses. We had been for quite a while, actually, when Breakfast came around.
Don't you let the sun fade away. Don't you let the sun fade away. Don't you let the sun fade away. sudden belief. Won't you come to me soon? And even though the stars are listening and the ocean's deep, I just go to sleep. And then I create the silent movie. You become the star. Is that what you are, dear? Your whisper tells a secret. Your laughter brings me joy. And a wonder of feeling I'm nature's own little boy. But still the tears keep falling. They're raining from the sky. Well, let the light of me got to go under before I get high. Don't let the sun disappear. Don't let the sun disappear. Don't let the sun believe. Oh, you can't believe in my life.
Sublime title song from 1977 Supertramp album Even in the Quietest Moments features Rick Davis singing the verses with Roger Hodgson joining in harmony on the choruses. Here's Roger with me in the studio.
I'm not quite sure when it happened, but at some point I think Rick decided to take a back seat in terms of directing the band. I think it was maybe because I was too stubborn or too forceful, and it was just easier for him to contribute, but let me do all the work. I don't know. Maybe that's not quite right. But by the time Breakfast in America came along, there was definitely the structure of Supertramp was very much spearheaded, I guess, by myself. And actually, funny enough, the sound man and the manager and maybe Dougie, the bass player. But in the studio, the only person really who was there day in, day out was myself and the sound man, funny enough. So I don't know whether I'd go as far as saying it's my album, but maybe it was my energy that forced it in the direction it wanted to go. We wanted to do an up album. The word that comes to mind is warmth. I don't know why, but I just felt like we wanted a more celebratory album, if anything. Maybe to counteract a little bit Crime of the Century, to kind of break out of the seriousness maybe of that. But when you're putting songs together, it's funny, the combination of songs on an album is critical. And I've always had a large backlog of songs, I still have. It's very difficult to choose which ones are right at any one time. And that's what I mean when I say timing is very important. If you release a song at the wrong time, it'll go unheard. It seems like in my life anyway, in my writing. But with these songs, obviously, it was the right timing.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle, oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, well, they'd be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully, oh, playfully, watching me. But then they sent me.
The Logical Song was just one of three big hits which eventually emerged from their sixth album, Breakfast in America. Next, you'll hear that Hodgson cooked up breakfast over a decade before it was actually served. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and 24/7 at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Roger Hodgson in the studio for number one blockbuster, Breakfast in America from Supertramp.
Welcome back in the studio for Supertramp's Breakfast in America. I'm Roger Hodgson with Redbeard.
Thank you, Roger. Together we're exploring the phenomenal 1979 blockbuster. Up until then, the Supertramp album that had the most success was 1974's dramatic, mysterious Crime of the Century, which received modest airplay and sales in America. For Breakfast in America, Roger Hodgson says that he wrote the title song over a decade earlier, before he'd ever set foot in America.
Well, funny enough, Breakfast in America had been around for 11 or 12 years. I wrote it in England when I was about 19. And that's in a way why the lyric is so innocent. And we had a big tussle, Rick and I, about whether to put it, one, to put it on the album, and two, whether I should redo the lyric entirely. And I even tried, and I just couldn't do it. You know, the lyric is so much a part of the song. Now, we had a big tussle, even about the title of the album. He didn't want the album title Breakfast in America either. So I guess I won out on both counts. But it is what it is. It's funny. It's an innocent song written when I was 17 or 18. And I had to leave it the way it came out. I didn't even change one word.
Take a look at my girlfriend. She's the only one I got. Not much of a girlfriend, but never seemed to get along. Take a jumbo across the water, like to see America. See the girls in California. I'm hoping it's going to come true, but there's not a lot I can do.
Kipper is a staple of the English diet, English breakfast diet, I should say. It's a smoked herring, I believe, and it's delicious. But you don't have them over here. Maybe I should start importing them.
Thanks for that, Roger. The light and shade, creative contrast of Hodgson and Rick Davis, which has made Crime of the Century, Even in the Quietest Moments, and Breakfast in America seem timeless over all these years, nevertheless provided some estrangement in their personal relationship by the time of making Breakfast in America. And Roger Hodgson points to the song Child of Vision as Exhibit A.
As I remember, that song was written with two things in mind. I think it was a little bit maybe my equivalent of Gone Hollywood, maybe looking at America and seeing how Americans are living. And possibly also a song to Rick a little bit too, because we did live totally different lives. and lifestyles, possibly. So maybe it was a little bit of a song to him. And in retrospect, it was a little judgmental of me, but I think it was probably, we weren't getting on with this album. It was becoming more and more difficult to work together. And we were really wanting different things out of life. And I think this was my song to him, as Casual Conversations was, I really believe, was a song that he wrote to me. We weren't communicating very well through this album. And it tells a lot, that song.
Thank you.
With Roger Hodgson's pointed lyrics and Supertramp's Child of Vision, I wondered how bandmate Rick Davies took the admonishment.
I don't know whether he resented that. He probably resented a lot of things through the years. You know, as I said, our relationship was very, very interesting. I don't think he ever really understood me musically. He was from a very different school. He was from a jazz and blues background. And I was really weaned on the Beatles and Traffic and that era. And I don't really think he understood and possibly didn't even like, to tell you the truth. I don't think he liked a lot of my songs. He went with them because everyone else did and because I was a more driven individual than he was. I mean, it was my drive, I think, that took the band to where it went. He was driven artistically, but he couldn't manifest it in his daily life. And I was better at doing both.
Still to come, Supertramp serves up Breakfast in America as the number one album in America, becoming the Egg McMuffin of music around the world. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and always online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Roger Hodgson in the studio for the Supertramp's 18 million seller, Breakfast in America.
Welcome back in the studio for Supertramp's Breakfast in America. I'm Roger Hodgson with Redbeard.
Thanks once again, Roger. Supertramp's blockbuster 1979 release, which served up three big hits, including Roger Hodgson's composition, Take the Long Way Home.
Take the Long Way Home has a quality about it that just makes me feel warm inside. I don't know if it's the harmonies or the melodies or whatever, but it's I never get sick of it. I always saw the song a little ambiguous. It's on two levels. I see home as being internal and external. It was kind of a play on words. Definitely part of the song is about the shallowness of success and that getting caught up in the world and success and chasing being popular or whatever is taking the long way home, because I think home in its deepest sense is inside, is being at peace with oneself. Again, it's ambiguous. I mean, if you're not around means you're dead or you couldn't settle down. You couldn't take it and you're off looking for things that are more important. It's a fun song. I remember having a lot of fun writing it, but never really having a clear picture of it. It was more often when I write songs, I go by gut instinct. A line comes to me and usually they do come to me. The best lines come to me rather than me trying to think them up consciously. And I just feel they're right. And I go with them whether I totally understand the meaning or not.
Thank you.
Because of songs such as Roger Hodgson's Take the Long Way Home, Supertramp's Breakfast in America topped the Billboard album sales chart for 6 weeks in 1979, eventually selling 6 million in the U.S. alone, and double that around the world. Breakfast in America also won 2 Grammy Awards in 1980. After 10 years, 6 albums, and emigrating to the U.S., all of Supertramp's biggest dreams were being served on a silver platter, or so it seemed to us fans. Again, Roger Hodgson.
I sensed that Breakfast in America was going to be a huge album, actually, even while we were making it. I think everyone was pretty sure that Logical Song was going to be a big song. You can tell when everything's lining up. But it was funny. It was a double-edged sword. I could sense the album was going to be huge, but I could also sense the band was splitting up, was kind of falling apart. I knew the beginning of the end was being sown. I could feel it. Not during the session so much, but especially on the tour. That's when I really felt it strongly. That was kind of when the life and the fun aspect kind of went out of it, which was ironic because that was when, you know, we were hearing every week the album was number one again, and yet on the other side of the picture, you know, I could see that that maybe it might be the last album, and maybe in retrospect should have been. I mean, I think Famous Last Words, the album that came after, was a last-ditch attempt to try and make something happen. But as the title tells you, it was definitely the end of that era anyway. I don't think the cheer of the crowds can replace the magic or the spirit of a band. I mean, that's nice to have and nice to feel, but the magic has to come from the band itself. You know, any band is a marriage of four or five individuals, and they have to create something. And I call it magic, but there's a definite life of itself. It's a spirit that's generated between those people, and we did it for many, many years very, very well. And I think it just got tired and too complicated to do it anymore. There were too many factors involved, and too many different desires from different people, both within the band and surrounding the band, that it was just too difficult to continue. But, you know, and I tried. Believe me, we all tried for 3 years to bring back the magic, to bring back the spark. But it was at the end of its life, or at the end of the life of that era. And it was just became too difficult to create in that environment.
It was an early morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn. And I really have enjoyed my stay. But I must be moving on. Like a king without a castle, like a queen without a throne. I'm an early morning lover, and I must be moving on. Yeah, yeah. Now I believe in what you say is the undisputed truth. But I have to have things my own way to keep me in my youth. Like a ship without an anchor, like a slave without a chain. Just the thought of those sweet ladies as they shiver out through my veins. And I will go on shining, shining like brand new. I'll never look behind me, my troubles will be few.
Thank you.
Rick Davis on lead vocal for Supertramp's Goodbye Stranger, the number one album, Breakfast in America. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guest, Roger Hodgson. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard. For Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2014, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and check out more at inthestudio.net.